Today on Sound Doctrine, we bring you a thrilling study of Bible prophecy, helping us understand the times that we're living in.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
We are about to bring you a very exciting study in Daniel chapter 7 here on Sound Doctrine. Glad you could join us. Pastor Jeff Johnson will have a look at a vision Daniel received that includes several beasts. One of them represents a revived Roman Empire that we've yet to see. It'll be made up of 10 nations, and they will hand the reins over to the Antichrist. Are we seeing this taking shape even as we speak? Well, let's talk about that and more next.
So now the emphasis of these animals are diversity. So that's interesting. So we're talking about the same thing, but a whole different side of it, a different look at it, like God wants us to see it for what it really is. So we have Daniel chapter 7. Notice verse 3 of Daniel 7, and the four beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. This is not a thing of unity. This is a thing of everyone is different totally. Verse 4, and the first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. So a lion with eagle's wings, interesting creature. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man. And a man's heart was given to it. So Daniel's vision of these beasts, who and what are these beasts? Verse 17 of Daniel 7, these great beasts, which are four, are what? What's it say? Are four kings. Again, it's explaining to us, which shall rise out of the earth. And so these beasts that we're looking at are four kings or four kingdoms. Empires, world empires, from Babylon up to today. Very important for us to see that there was four metals, that there are four beasts. Keep that in your mind. The first is a lion with eagle's wings. The lion is the king of beasts, isn't he? In the British Museum, they have proof that in Babylon, the symbol or the national emblem of Babylon was what? A lion with wings. Had it on their flags, had it on their books. It was all over the place. So it's on the coins, pillars. It was everywhere. A lion with wings. Jeremiah talks about this. Ezekiel, Habakkuk, all refer to Babylon as a lion. So it's very clear what this lion with wings is all about. Nebuchadnezzar was the head of gold, remember, in Daniel chapter 2. Ruled the greatest empire ever. But the wings were plucked, or clipped, if you will. And that bird, that lion bird, went down. And remember, Nebuchadnezzar had a heart that was proud. Look at all that I have done, he said. And don't you know, this very night, you know, you're going to become as a madman. You know, and everything's going to be taken away from you. And God had to really humble this man. And he learned that God is the one that rules. After 7 years as an animal living out in the brush, hair growing long. First hippie, man. His hair was out, nails long. The guy looked crazy. And he said, he rules. And Nebuchadnezzar had a change of heart, just like the scripture says here. He was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon feet as a man. And the man's heart was given to it. He took away his heart of stone and gave him a heart for God. So Nebuchadnezzar got saved through that whole experience. But his kingdom was lost, wasn't it? Because after your kingdom, king, Daniel chapter 2, comes another kingdom. And there are arms of silver. And this kingdom's going to move right in. You see, I believe the lesson that is given to us here is either we need to walk in humility or we're going to crawl in humiliation like a beast before the living God. So we need to humble ourselves before the Lord. Why? Because he'll lift us up. I love that scripture over there in Luke in chapter 20. Where it says in verse 18, Jesus is speaking, "Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it shall grind him to powder." And it's, again, it just shares about how we need to throw ourselves on the Lord Jesus Christ and say, "God, forgive me, a sinner. I just want to know you. I want to walk with you. I want you to live in my life. I don't want to try to do my own thing. I don't want to walk around here like I know everything and like a big shot, because I know you'll just cut me down." Notice verse 5 now, Daniel 7. "And behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear. And it raised up itself on one side. It had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh." So this bear, again, it's revealing its characteristics. This is the Medo-Persian Empire that came in and took Babylon, that great city. And remember how they took it? Just went right under the Euphrates. The gates were left open, the drunkenness of the people. They diverted the Euphrates and took it off that way. And in dry ground, it was called instead of desert storm, it was called a dry bed storm or something. You know, I don't know. They went in and took Babylon in a moment. No shots fired. No swords thrusted. And so this bear, and when you ever see a bear, it's kind of a slow-moving creature. They had 2.5 million warriors. And so you can imagine moving them across Europe. Moving them anywhere, 2.5 million soldiers, and they believed in taking their wives and children with them. Oh, that's a lot of mouths to feed. They moved very slowly, but they moved ponderously and yet powerfully to rule the world. Notice it says raised up on one side. The Persians were dominant in their history, and it reveals this in chapter 8, if you want to just cheat a little bit, in verse 3. Of Daniel 8:3, "Then I lifted up my eyes and I saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram, which had two horns, and two horns were high, and one was higher than the other. And the higher came up last." Again, this ram is speaking of the Medo-Persians, and one was higher than the other because the Persians were more dominant. The Aries, you know, the ram. King wore even on his head a ram, the symbol of a ram on his headpiece. So two horns, one was bigger. Look at how precise God's word is. When it comes to a great nation such as the Medo-Persians, the Persians were greater. And God puts it down for us to understand it and see it. Three ribs in the mouth. They had devoured and scarfed and chewed upon three great nations. Babylonians, the Lydians, and the Egyptians. Wiped them out totally. That's in Isaiah chapter 13. Getting back to chapter 7 now, in verse 6, he says, "And after this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings." Here the wings are again. And I think, you know, again, the wings are speaking of how quickly they took over all the earth and how sudden it took place. Babylonians, I mean, just all of a sudden, they were just a little town out there that grew and became strong overnight and took over the whole known world. The same way with this leopard, because now it has wings. I think we had wings when we were going into Iraq. We flew across that desert And just in a few days, 300 miles, major, major, mechanized army across the desert. The fastest army has ever moved in the history of warfare. We moved it and broke all kinds of records. I think we're an eagle, aren't we, as a symbol? We got wings. We're quick. We're fast. Well, so was this leopard. And it says that the beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. So the third major empire that took out the Medo-Persians was the leopard with four wings, or panther. This speaks of the Grecian Empire. See, a lion always devours its prey. A bear crushes its prey, and a leopard pounces on its prey very quickly. And so Alexander the Great, with his four generals, quickly with wings took over the whole world and became the emperors of the world in 10 years, the quickest anybody has ever taken the world. His 35,000 panzer divisions, panzer, speaking of panthers, or they were pouncing on the world, moved quickly. And yet, at the very end of it, Alexander sat down and said, what can I do? I've conquered the whole world. There's nothing else for me to do. And so he got drunk, and he left his equipment on, and it was raining, and he got soaking wet. He was drunker than a skunk, made his way home, fell on his bed, ended up getting pneumonia and dying at 32 years of age. Conquered the world, died with no sons, nobody to inherit all of this world that he had. You know that drinking, today, drugs, of course, are against the law, but, if you have an ID, we can sell you liquor. You can get some booze. And yet, what is the number one killer in our nation? The number one thing that is taking out more families and wiping more people out than anything else. It's not drugs, it's alcohol. And this is legal. Oh, what a great nation we have when we legalize something that will take out its people. And I know, and you guys know, about Russia with vodka and what the children are into and what they're doing. They're all over the streets with bottles of vodka, out of their minds, drunk, troubled, confused. It's happening in all the bars and everything we have, everything, where you go. But if God's people will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, I will heal their land. I'll shut down the bars. That's God's promise. If we'll just get on fire and have revival in our own hearts and begin to share the good news, bars begin to shut down. It happened in Europe. It can happen here. Come on. And just shut down that whole thing, that evil trade. But it's horrible, and it's legal. What will profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? So true, isn't it? Alexander the Great, 32 years of age, dead. After his death, the four generals, or four heads spoken of here, would split the kingdom four ways. History reveals this, but the Word of God also makes it very clear what took place. Turn with me to chapter 8, verse 21 of Daniel. We'll cheat a little bit again. Daniel 8:21, and the rough goat is the king of Grecia. We actually enter into some different animals in chapter 8. The king of Grecia, of course, Alexander the Great. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king, talking about Alexander the Great. Now, that being broken, whereas four, talking about the four generals, stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power, because it wasn't his descendant. It was just his four generals that would come, and they'd split it all up. Of course, Greece, talking about Capricorn, the goat, is the symbol of the ancient Macedonians, was the goat with one horn, which is interesting. The horn, of course, speaks of power. Notice that not in his own power, because it wasn't He didn't have any successors or children. It was in the power of his four generals that took over. And they moved to Egypt. One of them took Egypt. One of them took Syria. One of them took Thrace. And one of them took Macedonia. So you can see why the critics cry out many times over this book of Daniel that there's a late dating here. Nobody could know all of this stuff. Nobody could put all of these things in order. But God can. And they didn't want to hear it. Don't tell me that. No, it's a late dating. Somebody else, that after it was already done, they wrote it down and they put Daniel together. They're always coming against this book, Daniel, and others. Because it's so precise. It's so God. It's so awesome. Verse 7 now. Of Daniel chapter 7. And after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast. This is incredible. Dreadful and terrible. I mean, there's not even a name given to it. It's so incredibly ugly. That's not an animal, is it? I don't know. Well, you know, it's just horrific. It was strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all of the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. Historically, we know that the Romans violently smashed, desecrated the Grecian Empire. I mean, again, hindsight helps us so much. This last empire that he's talking about here is hard for Daniel to describe. It doesn't look like any kind of animal, so he can't say it looks like a bear, it looks like a lion. He just says it's a beast. And this beast is dreadful and it's terrible. A monster, so terrible it had these iron teeth, so strong that it devoured everything. And if you look at the image of Daniel chapter 2, verse 33, you see that that image has these two legs. After the Grecian Empire comes the two legs of iron, the final metal. Remember how the metals are decreasing as far as the governments go? Well, now we've got down to this incredible empire that has actually an Eastern and Western empire, the two legs of the image. So this Roman war machine will come and plunder and devour everything in its path. Now, as we look back historically, we know as the Babylonians, so went the Persians. And then after the Persians came the Grecians, and they conquered the world. And you know what? Each one of these great empires never destroyed everything, the other nations. They always tried to influence them. They always tried to win them over and take what they had and use it to great extent. They used the nations that they captured very wisely. Alexander the Great sought to force unity throughout all of the world. Why? Because if we can just have the world speak one language, Greek, we will all be one. And so he tried his best to unite the world. Not to force it, not to destroy it, but to unite it. But the Romans, they used the strong arm policy. When they would come in, they would break the people by burning everything. Mass slaughter and slavery. They sought to erase all Grecian influence, whatever was in the world. They burned it and destroyed it. And so out of this last great empire, which when you really think about it, Rome, it was never conquered by anybody, was it? It just kind of disappeared. Interesting, because when you really look at the fall of Rome, you find out that it was eaten from within, just like this nation. And there's a book out that's, I forget the name of it, but it kind of, you know, contrasts the United States and the fall of Rome. And it's just kind of scary when you see what's going on. Because, you know, we're into build it up, buff it up, you know, and look at yourself in the mirror. Yeah, you know. And drugs and, oh, the newest thing, the newest craze. You're going to have a great radical makeover. And you're going to be a new person, you know. And so they were into all this stuff. And, you know, it's just when people go within then and they start to change the way they look and want to be different and everybody's self-centered and it's all about me. It's all about how I feel, how I look, and it's just all about you. Then look out, because that's exactly how Rome fell. Alcoholism was rampant. STDs were everywhere. Everybody was turning up with all kinds of diseases, and there was a cancer within that eventually it just wiped them out in 476 AD. Now, Rome was the last world empire, the last one. Now, I know that there was Genghis Khan. I know that the Muslim hordes came through through Europe and that area and through France and Germany. Hitler's, you know, prize was Germany, and he was going to do great things with Germany. He had a plan to take all of Russia and all the world. Didn't go too far. Italy, Spain, China, England, Russia, the Far East, even the United States of America, we were never a world empire. And even though the Brits called themselves a world empire, they weren't. They didn't rule over us, did they? No, they weren't. I mean, I'm talking about a world empire. So from this Roman beast, I'm saying that this beast still exists today. In other words, this is where we're living now. And what we're seeing in Europe taking place, and what we're seeing with the 10 nation and the 10 toes coming together, is all a part of the revived Roman Empire coming forth in the last days. Very important to see that.
We'll pause this message right here, but don't rush away. Pastor Jeff has a bit more to say here today on Sound Doctrine. Well, as we close things out, I'd like to mention that these studies are available online at sounddoctrineradio.org. You can also call and request a CD copy for a suggested donation of $5 at 800-353-7553. Again, we're here to serve you at 800-353-7553. We'd like to pause at this time to say how thankful we are to the Lord for you, our listeners. We simply couldn't do what we do without the faithful support of God's people and God's provision. So thank you for standing with us. This month, we've picked out a wonderful book written by Elizabeth Elliot called Let Me Be a Woman. I don't have to tell you there's a great deal of gender confusion in our world today, so we need to be reminded more than ever of what it means to be a woman. In this book, Elizabeth shares observations and experiences bathed in Scripture that will help you ladies be the woman God created you to be, especially needed in these days of conflicting demands and cultural pressures. It's available at sounddoctrineradio.org or call us at 800-353-7553. And if you could include a little extra, that would be a blessing. And it helps to continue this ministry on this radio station as well as others. Hey, would you do us a favor and email us today while it's fresh on your mind? We want to know who's listening and where, and pray for you as well. Our email address is sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. All right, let's get back into our Bible study. Once again, we're in Daniel chapter 7, talking about the revived Roman Empire that will emerge in the last days.
So these 10 horns that he speaks about, what are these 10 horns? Well, they're 10 kings. With Roman influence, they're all related. Do you remember, again, the 10 toes of Daniel 2:42? They were iron. What were they made out of? Iron. From the legs. The legs were iron, solid iron. Then the toes were part iron and part clay. Iron, speaking of the Roman Empire. Clay, speaking of a weakness ruled by the people. And so this prophecy, really what we're talking about here right now, is yet to be fulfilled, what Daniel is seeing in the future. You know, with all the situation with the king of the north, with Russia, with all the situations in the European Ukraine, and all of the, you know, guys running around with atomic weaponry, the world problems today. The Jerusalem is an incredible problem that's not going to go away. It's going to get bigger. We're going to hear about Israel and Jerusalem so much more in these last days. You're just going to see Zechariah chapter 12 coming to pass. Again, there's earthquakes. Turn in the newspaper and find out how many earthquakes are taking place in places they never were before. That's going back to Matthew 24. So all of these things are taking place. And today we see in Europe a federation of nations, a revived Roman Empire coming together like never before in the history of this world. The U.S. of Europe, they call it. The EEC, the European Economic Community.
Pastor Jeff will share the rest of this prophecy update next time on Sound Doctrine, a presentation of Calvary Chapel Downey and made possible through your generosity. So, Father,